Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to episode 72, The Science of Alignment with Elizabeth Payne. Now, Elizabeth is a beautiful soul, a fellow meditator. We met through our fellow meditation coach, but I'm so excited to have her on here today. She gets it, people. If you are looking to make a change in your life and tune into really what it feels like to feel free, that feeling of freedom. Now take a second in your body, take a deep breath in, open your heart, and how does your body feel when you tune into that feeling of freedom? And that's what Elizabeth is all about. She is an empowerment coach, an expert in the subconscious transformation, and she's here to remind you guys who you really are. After 15 years in the corporate engineering space, so she's a smart cookie, people, and hitting rock bottom along the way, she found her freedom and wrote an entirely new story for herself. Her passion and mission became the guiding light for others to connect with who they really are and live a life that lights them up. I mean, yes, that's what we're here about on Witchy Wellness Radio. Today's episode, you'll hear more about Elizabeth's backstory and now how she helps these powerful people awaken to the freedom, get out of their own way, stop settling, break through their fear and doubt, and tap into abundant flow and be, do, and have it all. It's possible. We talk more about awakening to your freedom. And what does this mean? Is it really possible? Because as you listen to this show, Elizabeth and myself are all about that freedom. Reconnecting with who you really are. Finding your own alignment and getting into flow. Knowing you are here for more. How to step into your power. Why a clear vision and willingness to do the work will create the most epic and turned up life. Freedom to let go of your fears, doubts, and fully step into your power. Learning to write a new story for yourself that lights you up in order to live a life that lights you up. Science, spirituality, and everything in between. Ditching the lack in your life and shifting into abundance. And so much more. This is a beautiful episode. If anybody is wanting to live a life that lights you up, that you feel happy about, and you feel the sense of freedom and ease, and maybe wanting to learn a little bit more about subconscious reprogramming, this is the episode for you guys. I am so excited to share my beautiful friend Elizabeth, episode 72, The Science of Alignment. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, and today we are talking with the beautiful Elizabeth Payne, and we're talking about the science of alignment and connecting with who we really are. Welcome to the show today, Elizabeth. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm thrilled to be chatting with you.
Yes, me too. A little bit more about Elizabeth that we'll hear more in detail in a second. She is an empowerment coach and an expert in the subconscious transformation. Oh, I love this topic. She's here to remind us or remind you who you really are. After 15 years in the corporate engineering space and hitting rock bottom along the way, she found freedom and wrote an entirely new story for herself. Her passion and mission has become guiding others to reconnect with who they are, live a life that lights them up. Yes, that's what I want to learn more about how to do. That's what I try to do day to day, but I love hearing from everybody's beautiful transformation story. That's why I start off the show
asking our guests to kind of tell us, how did you get to be doing the amazing work that you do today? I'm sure there was this big aha moment. But for somebody listening to this, I always like to start off because they're like, oh, that freedom sounds so good, but they've never gone through what I had to go through, or they're at point F and I'm at point A. How do I get there in between? So could you kind of tell us your in-between points that led you to do the work that you do today?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for that great introduction. Yeah. I loved it. So as you said, I had a long career in engineering leadership. I found myself at age 30 at rock bottom, like you said, and I was really disconnected from who I was at that point. I had lost track of my dreams and desires. I didn't really have a specific plan for the future. I was a very emotional roller coaster. I was always up and down, and I really just had lost sight of, one, who I was, and two, where I was going. It was a pretty dark place, but it was a turning point. And at that point, I discovered that happiness was inside of me. I was just covered by layers and layers of stuff that was, in a sense, suffocating me. And at that point, there was nowhere to go but up. So I started moving up and really turned things around by digging deep and uncovering that girl that was hidden inside. And when I did that, I also reconnected with those dreams that I had lost and those desires that I had stuffed deep down, and also reconnected with freedom. And it took a few years, right, to kind of find my way. But once I did, I was fired up to guide people to do the same thing. It's like, once you discover that, the only thing you want to do is just share it with as many people as possible.
Yes, when you get, and I know you talk a lot about alignment, and you remember who you truly are, when you feel so full of life and with love, because that's really our natural state, all you want to do is give. All you want to do is give. That's why I started this podcast, is, you know, my own journey, the same thing, is I want to share other people's journeys and their passions of how they got into their alignment, their own healing, spiritual or physical or emotional. And for me, it was a similar story, but I never knew that life was supposed to be like that. You know, you never could be too happy. You never could be too sad or angry. And I never heard of what alignment really, really, really was. Mm-hmm. Could you, if someone maybe knows or doesn't know, could you explain to us?
Yeah, I bet they don't.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I had no idea. Alignment to me at that point was like something you went to the chiropractor and they like got you back in alignment, right? Yeah. Alignment means that you know if you're in alignment or not, Lauren, if you're feeling good. So clearly at that rock bottom point for me, I was very far from alignment. And the thing about feeling bad, feeling sad or angry or frustrated or any of those things, it's not that part of it that's the bad part. That's a signal to you that something's not calculating right in your brain and in your life. So in a sense, if you can see it as that, like, this is a signal to me that I'm out of alignment and that deep down I am happy. Like you said, your natural state is happy. Your natural state is love. Your natural state is free. That's how you can measure it, though. That's how you can gauge. How good am I feeling? The more aligned you are, the better you feel.
Yes. Amen. And I think, I call myself a recovering perfectionist. And I even found myself like, past few weeks, I love yoga, but to be honest, my practice during quarantine with, you know, studios being closed and my home practice was not as good, you know, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I started getting really, really hard on myself, and I started practicing again, and I would just like in the class be so mad at everything and everyone. And that's not me. And I'm like, what's wrong? And I had to actually tune in, and that was my signals, because
you had that feeling. Yeah.
I am out of shape. that's okay. My practice isn't where it needs to be, but I can take the steps to get in that alignment, if you will. But using that feeling, that emotion, not to judge yourself, because I mean, I'm very emotional aware, but sometimes we always get in our own way. And I use that to just compound and compound in this huge angry ball hamster wheel. That I'm a horrible person. Why am I angry? But no, it's just it's leading the way. The show's tagline is your body or your emotions are not in the way. They're leading the way.
The way. I love that.
And so we started talking about alignment. I know myself, I would be like, okay, well, of course I want to feel happy. I don't want to feel like where I am now, however, you know, sad, depressed, angry, whatever. But how do I actually take those steps to get there? You know, we talk about how the negative emotions, there's really no such thing as negative, but quotes unquote negative, can guide us to that happiness. But could you talk to us about maybe how in your own practice or how you help other people, you actually cue into those negative emotions and start taking the baby steps or quantum leaps towards happiness?
Yeah. You're right. At that point, when I hit those, just like you said, like it was just like a ball of everything just piled up, rolled into one and crushed me. I'm with you. I had no idea. How do I even start, you know, to dig out? And it's something that I use successfully in my own life. And I use now with clients. You have to look at the root of the emotion, the root of that resistance, the root of those things that are kicking you out of alignment. Normally, it's something quite old, and most adults aren't going throughout their day or their life thinking, you know, what's throwing me off track today and where did that start? You know, when did that start? As kids, we're not really taught to do that. So we get to our 20s, our 30s, our 40s, and we've just got all this stuff piled up. I'll use an analogy for you that will probably resonate. Let's say you have a backpack and you put it on when you're a little kid, and then you throw all the junk in the backpack, the emotions that people tell you to not really process, the bad memories, the experiences, those bad beliefs that you got from like your uncle, your teachers, the TV, whatever. Put them all in the backpack. You hit like 30. And you have a backpack full of stuff weighing you down, making you sad, making you angry, making you, you know, jealous, making you feel horrible about yourself. And you're like, what do I do? You got to start digging through the backpack.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes people think it's all light and fluffy doing this work. Yeah. But you have to become, I want to say, fearless.
You do.
And looking at these things, looking at these behaviors and those root issues, beliefs, but also from this like observational, you know, non-judgment. And that can be really hard to start to look at these things and not judge ourselves. And I think that's a great opportunity if you're new or maybe not new, because even during quarantine, I've worked with a couple different coaches and therapists for a slew of things for myself, but that's why you have somebody to help guide you, not do the work for you, but help
to guide
and guide and empower you with these tools and help hold you accountable so you can learn to coach yourself, essentially. You know, I think that's the important thing. It's like some people, you know, we get conditioned to be going to the doctor or going to some professional to tell us what to do, take this, do this, and the power is taken away from us in a way. And, you know, I'm not trying to diss modern medicine. I think it's very useful. But in this kind of work, and maybe you can speak more to how empowering and how you actually can guide people to start becoming the own masters of their own lives, the own masters of their emotions.
Yeah, I love all of those things that you just said. Let's see. One thing I like to tell clients is that it's difficult to get into the energy of the solution if you're in the energy of the problem. So when you've been wearing that backpack for so many years, you can't always see those other perspectives, the other beliefs that are going to make a powerful shift in your life. And sometimes it feels a lot worse and a lot heavier than it is because that's all you've ever known. You got someone else in your life that's able to give you a couple other options, another way to look at things. Your brain has just been thinking that same thought pattern for so long. It needs some other things to look at, some other things to think about, and it will open up. And then you say, oh, you know, that is a reasonable way to look at that. That's a reasonable perspective. You say, you know what? That belief is not serving me. I've had that belief for 30 years, but it's a trash belief and I'm ready to move on without it. And your brain will follow. Your brain will listen. It's like you said, though, not many people are going to be able to find all of that in the muck because you're just in it and you've been in it for so long.
Oh yeah. And it seems, I think of like a shadow puppet or something, like mm-hmm. when you're in it for so long, it looks like this big scary monster. You see the shadow, but when you actually look at the false belief or the issue at hand, it's just mm-hmm. maybe looks like more of like a cute little bunny than like this scary, terrifying, like zombie rabbit
monster. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's been many of the cases for me. But it's so helpful to have somebody guide you through this. Even if you're lucky to have a friend or a partner who helps you through this, I do think it's helpful, but I think it's more important to kind of, when you're doing that deep work, to actually find a specialist to help you with this, to keep those boundaries. And one other thing I had to say just popped into my head is that when I started to do this work, you know, I've had a very beautiful, privileged upbringing, no significant trauma by any means. And I started uncovering these false beliefs, but the belief I didn't even know for a while was that this worthiness of like, well, I should be okay. Nothing bad really has happened to me. Why am I this upset? I don't deserve to get, you know, and you don't think about that, but that sometimes that hinders us from thinking that we're worthy to do the work, worthy to get help, because we're like, you know, I've either had an average life or above average life, or like, I'm doing okay. Why do?
Yeah.
But that's a false belief within itself. A lot of people have to work through.
Yeah. And I like what you said about if you have a partner, if you have a friend, I'm with you. Like in my own life, when I hit that rock bottom moment, a coach came into my life, and I never had heard of a coach besides like a sports coach, right? And no one I knew had ever hired a coach, but she came into my life very clearly. It was very meant to be. And I would not be here without that single moment of her coming into my life, because having a friend or family member kind of look at things with me, they were in that same energy, not the mm-hmm. exact same energy, but it's like, that's your sphere of influence. And whenever the coach came, she brought completely different things to the table. And that's what I needed to make those, like you said, quantum leaps and those big shifts. I was ready for something deeper that no one around me was going to bring.
100%. Yeah. And I think that beautifully said. And I would love to hear, I mean, I know we've kind of connected through like-minded ways about subconscious reprogramming meditation. Yeah. I know we nerd out about that, but maybe not everybody else does. I don't know why. How do you help work with people? But more importantly, brief overview, what is a subconscious? Why is it so important? We've kind of brushed upon it through this interview, but if we could just like dive deep into that topic.
Yeah, let's do it. So the percentages differ depending on who you talk to, but I always use 90-10. So 90% of your thoughts and your habits and all of that stuff in your mind is underneath the surface, and 10% is what you're really operating with consciously day to day. So 90% is driving the ship. And if you go throughout your life and you don't know what's underneath there, you don't know what's in that 90%, what you're going to get in life is not necessarily what you want, right? And it's kind of like an unknown because you're not consciously working with the bulk of your mind. When you start to look at what's in there and is it what I want, you can then take some things out or take most of it out and replace it with the empowering beliefs, the empowering habits, those empowered choices and thoughts that will begin to, you will see it. You will see it manifest in your life as you start to take things out and put new things in. So some people ask me, why do I care? Why do I care about my subconscious? And this is what I tell them. If your life is beautiful, wonderful, the most amazing thing you can imagine, you have all your dreams, all your desires, and you wake up every day in bliss, don't change your subconscious, right? Like, you're good. But if there's things that you would like to be different, maybe a lot of things, maybe not a lot, maybe some big things, maybe you've got a big dream that you feel like it's there and you've got that nagging feeling, because that was me, right? Like, I had the nagging feeling that there was more, but I just couldn't quite get my finger on it. That's when you know, okay, I got to look what's underneath the surface, because that's what's really driving the ship.
100%. And I like what you said. If you wake up every single day, 100% rainbows and butterflies. Yeah. The subconscious is super powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys think about driving a car, I mean, you might not be driving home from work as much right now, but all of a sudden you're on autopilot in your home and you weren't consciously thinking about driving or the directions, but your brain just took over. Another powerful example of subconscious. And you know how I got into a lot of this is just studying what the placebo effect is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more so with healing, but just the power of your subconscious, like,
yes,
blows my mind. People are like, okay, whatever, beliefs, 90% of my thoughts, whatever. But like, just look at the placebo effect, people. That actually, you know, people are taking sugar pills compared to medications or having the actual surgeries. And they actually have to account for this, because people's beliefs that they are getting healed, beliefs that those pills are the real medicine, because they don't know, they actually heal.
Yeah.
Just think, if you could change one belief about yourself, how different your life would be.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge. Ugh. My body's tingling. This is a good conversation. So when we start addressing all these beliefs and diving to the subconscious, we start to kind of peek through to the other side, or thinning that veil into freedom.
Yes.
Which is such a beautiful word. If you just tune into that word right now, everybody listening, how does that feel in your body? Like, come on, just freedom, expansiveness.
Yes.
I love it. What does freedom mean for you, Elizabeth? I would love to hear for you diving into, this is like one of your big words right now and your big passion and why you do what you do today. What does freedom mean to you in your world?
And I'm with you. That word is so powerful. And I find that most people that I work with, that word has so much meaning to them too. And it's interesting because it means something different to every person. And I feel like at different parts of our life, it probably evolves, right, as we go. But for me, coming from that point I was at, freedom's pretty multifaceted, because I was able to shift from that rock bottom into physical freedom, financial freedom, shifting from lack into abundance. I was able to shift into spiritual freedom and emotional freedom. So for me, it is four parts. I know, really, really amazing and phenomenal. But it really, freedom for me is just being able to fully live my life and be so connected to my truth and just live that every day.
Mm-hmm. Like that. And for me, I would say included in my freedom is still showing up when things are rough, or not rough, but seemingly against myself, coming up against myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because behind every single mountain is another mountain.
Yeah.
And I think included in that freedom is that fearlessness, is that courageousness to keep growing, to keep living my life the way I want to live it. And that includes growth constantly. Yeah. And I think people just think abundance or freedom is just a state where everything is just like almost this heaven-like consciousness, but it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's a feeling and it's a vibration you can tune into, but you have to keep showing up and being that freedom.
Because that's the adventure of life, right? Mm-hmm. Like freedom, though, I feel what you're saying. Freedom is the freedom to do that.
To do it, right? Yeah.
Where instead of just kind of like coasting through life or living someone else's life or living on that roller coaster that I was on, you're on this path of freedom, and freedom is growing and healing and expanding and learning. I love that. It's like, that's part of it. Like you said, some people might see that as bad, but no, that's the beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you start digging into this work, sooner or later, you're going to come up against yourself again.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I find myself, you know, maybe I still have those negative emotions for a while, but I realize, you know, faster and faster that the refractory period shortens. And I'm like, all right, this is coming up for a reason. Let's dig into this, because on the other side of this, it's like a big slingshot is what I think of it. And the deeper we reprogram, or the deeper, the bigger, the longer of the quote unquote issue, when we can let go, we are catapulted forward. And not to say we'll come back, but it's just like that growth and that momentum, that freedom, just like that backpack example, such a beautiful illustration of that is like you let go and you just float up.
Yeah.
You float.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking, one of my favorite things to say is everything is happening for me. Everything is serving me. And when you said this resistance is showing me something, that's totally it. You have the freedom to know deep in your soul, deep in your heart, that everything that's coming into your life, even if it is resistance, right? Even if it is contrast, that it's serving you. You trust that it's serving you and that it's happening for you.
I say very similar affirmation that life is not happening to me. It's happening for me.
Exactly.
And that shift of that one word is very empowering. Yeah. It comes from that, you know, from more of a victim state that everything's happening to me. I can't do anything about it. I'm never going to change. You know, you can just feel the heaviness in that, but this is happening for me. Mm-hmm. Happening to better me, to expand me so I can be more free. It's amazing. And I wanted to loop back into, you mentioned it a couple times, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, the roller coaster of emotions. And maybe talk about, you know, I still sometimes have the roller coaster. Sometimes I do feel like I tend to burn myself out. I tend to overdo things and get overly passionate. And, you know, I still might have that roller coaster, but each time I'm like, okay, Lauren, what did we learn?
Yeah.
You know, what can we learn next time? But how did you work through that? Because I know that's, it's quite, especially as somebody either very passionate or entrepreneurial or perfectionist, That's like a big tendency, and we feel like there's like this worth issue over like, you know, oh, I'm not supposed to feel too much. And then we have these roller coasters and breakdowns and highs and lows. And then you don't trust yourself really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I found this too with clients. A lot of times if you're in a situation where, like, let's say the client's in a situation and they just feel an extreme emotion, I give them an exercise to pause and really evaluate, does it feel like my response is matching the situation, right? Like, does it feel like I'm overreacting? Like, does this have more energy behind it than what it probably should. And maybe even sometimes they get an opinion from a trusted person in their life. Like, does this seem to fit? Most of the time the answer will be no. And normally that clues you in to say, okay, this is echoing off of something else that I am reacting to that's not this current situation. So that reaction does reflect something old that hasn't cleared, and it does fit the old, especially because the old's like boiled over for so long and it's just coming out in that particular situation. So for that client, we'll go back and see if we can map it back and do some clearing work around the original. And then the test is, okay, next time this happens in your real life, let's see on the scale, how's your reaction? Every single time they come back and they say, oh, it was more normal. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's very, yeah. I see that a lot in my friends, clients, myself, and it's good. I like what you said. Is this a normal reaction to, or, you know, appropriate reaction to what's actually happening? And that's about becoming more observational about your life, about your thoughts, about your emotions. Mm-hmm. Because when you have that higher perspective, just like you touched on earlier, you're able to change and see a different solution rather than getting stuck in that. The problem, you can't see a way out. You're just kind of rabbit hole down.
Yeah. And I think too, a lot of people, the key is noticing or getting yourself to ask that question and then recognizing that it's reflecting off of old. A lot of people will get stuck in this cycle of judging themselves for the extremeness of the reaction. Like, oh, I'm always melting down, I'm always blowing up, I'm always doing this, I'm always doing that. And they'll get so down on themselves for that. If you can say, no, it's okay, this is reflecting off something old, and that's why it does seem so over the top, that will help, because the judgment just gets in the way of the actual healing.
Oh yeah, to say the least. A lot of the time that we are definitely in our own way, but that's beautiful about, and that opportunity is that the older the thing coming up, the opportunity for deeper healing or deeper growth. And that's something beautiful. Next time you guys have an overreaction to anything, just tune into what Elizabeth said and that vibration of non-judgment. And that's so beautiful. I'm kind of working through the stages of how your own story and how you work with people. And now, you know, working through all of these past issues or false beliefs, now we're starting to kind of uncover our vision.
Yes.
Tell me about that process and maybe how that even occurred in your life as well.
Yeah. Yeah. A huge part of my life. So I'm glad that you ask. So the first step with clients is feeling good. And that's kind of what we just talked about. It's why are they not feeling good if they're not? And we take some time to get to this place of really feeling good in the present moment, in the current situation, without, you know, changing. Because some people say, I'll feel good if I change this or change that. No, it's like, let's just feel good right where we're at. And then we jump to vision. And a lot of people are familiar with like vision boards and vision work, but it's a little bit different the way that I do it. And it's the way that I've done it. The coach that I talked about from over six years ago, she taught me this. When she taught me, I had no idea how much it would change my life. But what we would do, me and the client, will be to write a vision for whatever they're currently working towards or working on. It could be big, it could be small. You know, sometimes it's something really epic, and sometimes it's just something small. Focusing not on the how, which I know you're familiar with that. Like, don't focus on the how, don't focus on the details. Focusing on how it feels, the emotion and how it feels, almost like a celebration after it's happened, and really tuning into those emotions and the energy. We get really clear on that to the point that the person can close their eyes and they can feel it. You know, it feels really juicy and really good. And then after we have the vision, everyone's probably thinking, okay, now what? Does it just poof, it's there? No. After that, that's when more of that juicy work comes in. So when they close their eyes and they can feel it, when they open their eyes, you ask, okay, so what's in the way? Why is it not happening? That's where all the yeah buts come in. They start listing out all of those big buts, those, but what about this? What about that? What about this? And that's the magic, because those yeah buts are the pieces that are standing in the way. And that's why sometimes you'll hear people, they do vision boards, they do visions, and they say, I didn't do anything in my life. It's because if you just do the vision, but you don't actually get in there to the subconscious and into the brain to get the brain on board, it's not going to do a lot.
Oh, no. I love that depiction of the yeah buts, because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, is that not true? And you can, when you're, if you are working with somebody, you're a friend, you know, or yourself, you know, when you talk to somebody and you just hear the excuses or yeah, but, and that's fine. But digging into the subconscious helps you let go of those.
Yes.
Right. And actually see that they are excuses.
Yeah.
And it's so, 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 so powerful. And people, you know, ask, like my family and friends, I know Elizabeth also meditates as well, ask me like, well, how can you meditate for like over an hour or 2 hours at a time? I'm like, because I'm tuning into how that feels. Like, of course I want more of that. And, or I'm tuning into those yeah buts and reprogramming, because I don't want those yeah buts in my way. You know, it's like knocking down those walls, those barriers to keep that focus on that vision, on that end goal, all while being happy, content, feeling good, feeling good right now. Because you spoke of this earlier. You can't have this if then happiness. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. I just did it today. Like, my lease is up in the spring and I'm already thinking like, well, where am I gonna go? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna buy a place, you know, and I'm just like, Lauren, take a step back. Like, you can feel yourself. And when people, you know, it's a similar feeling when a lot of people go down like the WebMD rabbit hole or whatever. Yeah. Like, you can feel your focus narrowing and the stress hormones raising. That's if then happiness. If you're trying to control the outcome, the how, just how you spoke about. And sometimes it's hard. Like, it's difficult for people, and myself included, to catch myself when I'm doing that. So how do you coach people to actually tune into the actual how of the actual 3D steps?
Sure.
Actually.
So after making the vision, that second part that I explained to you, where you look at those yeah buts, that's the align step. So that's where the alignment comes in. So get that, feel good, get the vision nice and crystal clear, and then get aligned. And then that last piece is allow. And that's where more of the 3D, you know, action steps come into play, and what some people might call the how. The key with the allow step is, if you're feeling good and you're feeling aligned, which I kind of said are the same thing, right? Because you're aligned if you're feeling good. Then you're connected to your inner being, your higher self, and you're able to discern which steps are next and which steps excite you. Your inner being, your higher self, is always going to lead you via excitement. Whatever feels exciting, that's going to be your next step. It wouldn't lead you to something and say, oh, this is exciting, if it wasn't for you. So if you're not feeling good though and feeling aligned, that's where people get caught into the how and taking lots of, you could call it, efforted action, because they're not at that base place of feeling good and aligned. So when you jump to allow, you don't necessarily stay there all the time. You might if you just always feel good. But like you said, you're going to hit a bump. You jump back into align. Okay, let's do a little clearing. And then we go back to allow. But the key is just staying at that feeling good state so that you're not taking those actions that are kind of nothing's wasted, but just efforted.
Yeah. And I know in my own life, a lot of the time that how comes along and I step out of the allow is when I think things should be happening on a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. And I think as a society as a whole, we like to rush. We like to know when things are going to unfold and how and what and the where and the why. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But there's so much beauty in letting things unfold the way mm-hmm. that they need to. And I say that and I have to remind myself probably multiple times a day to allow and to surrender. And I go back to my own life and I have to tell myself, look at these beautiful things in your life that you have today that unfolded because you acted in alignment. Yeah. I acted in alignment and didn't know what was happening. You know, I wasn't pictured on that end result. I was just excited. So I acted upon it and things unfolded the way that I would have never expected. I couldn't have never dreamed of.
Oh, yes.
Because of that, because I stayed present. And I know I talk about my relationship a lot in here. That's how it unfolded. And for me, it was a big thing up until, you know, all my life through my late 20s, I was always like, I need to be in a relationship. You know, it was like this like mm-hmm. need and want. And then I just got to a point where I did the work, guys. I knew that I didn't care if the love of my life came into my life when I was 83 years old. I knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I completely let go. I was like, I was just like sick and tired of spending so much energy and mm-hmm. that effort and the action. And I'm just like, you know, I don't care. It'll happen. That person's alive. I know they're out there. Like they are alive. And be careful when you do that because things might unfold faster than you think. Yes. Or think that you're ready. And I was still super excited and scared and coming up against myself. But I really deployed all of those beautiful actions and that formula that Elizabeth is talking about in my own life. And I know so many of us, the big things are like career, just overall happiness, a relationship, abundance. Yes. Those are really big things that everybody wants. Mm-hmm. But those big things, we want to know, like there's a certain time frame where I need to be married by this date, have 2.5 kids by this date, and these things look different for everybody, but have a fur baby, a dog by this time, or a house. And life always doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And it's that balance of getting into alignment and trusting and working through those belief systems that for me, it was surrendering to the higher power, which, you know, you can say God, myself, the universe.
Yeah.
Always has my back. But not mm-hmm. only that, wants the best for me, mm-hmm. if not all the time, better than I could have ever imagined for me.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a huge game changer if you can tune into that. And this mm-hmm. is the power of tuning into these false beliefs that hold us back and this subconscious stuff. And I know both Elizabeth and I are so passionate about this. And that's mm-hmm. why I started the show, is to help show people that, you know, these quote unquote bad things in our lives, whether it's a bad relationship, career, money issues, emotions, health, are mm-hmm. all there to help you find your way back home to who you really, really, really are. Mm-hmm. And I would love to dive into that, the more spiritual side, I guess, if you will, of who we really, really are. And we talked about that happiness, that state of alignment is who we are. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear your take on that and just how you help clients get there.
Yeah. And it's very different with each client. Thankfully, I of course meet people where they're at, because everyone has such a different upbringing and life, right? That got them up to that point. And for me, I had a very religious background growing up in what many people call the Bible Belt of the United States. And when I got to that rock bottom point, religion for me was very fear-based. I was very afraid. I was living in fear pretty much all the time. I actually thought, I can laugh about it now, like it is funny to me, but when I had that coach that I hired, the first one, I don't know that I thought that she was necessarily out there or anything, but I thought to myself, I might get struck by lightning, but so be it, right? Like, I'm going to hire her, and if I get struck by lightning, oh well, like it's not going to get any worse than it already is. That's kind of the fear-based mindset that I was in. And it was a slow unpacking of that upbringing because, you know, those things get stuffed pretty deep in the backpack. And at the root of it all, we are all one, right? We are all one. And like you said before, we are pure love. We are happy. And my upbringing taught that life is just going to suck, right? Like it's going to just be pretty bad. And the bad parts are just there to, you know, you're kind of going to just get through them. But it was not what you and I were saying where you're going to bump up against stuff. It was more this story of, life just sucks, right? And at the same time, I didn't have connection with my own inner wisdom. I was always searching for it outside of me, didn't realize that it was all there. Your higher self, your inner being, like you said, whatever your deity is, right, is unconditionally loving and infinitely intelligent. So the answers are there. I love that you mentioned earlier that those things in your life are drawing you back home. Like all that stuff that had piled up was my higher self unconditionally loving me and constantly saying, Elizabeth, you know, you're on the right track. Let's keep going. You're going to get there. I love you. You're going to get there. I love you. I still love you. I still love you. Until things, like you said, that veil started to thin. So for me, you know, a lot's changed in that part of my life because I slowly started unpacking those fears from the backpack. And prior to meeting that gal, I was too afraid to think beyond, right? To even think for myself. It's whatever everyone had told me growing up, that was just the truth. And I was too afraid to move.
Oh yeah. And I think I love how you beautifully depicted that. It's all these programs or beliefs or upbringings are here to help us. They're sent by our higher selves, by God, yep, the universe, to keep us to learn something. And I mean, this might be, some people might relate to this, for some people might not. For me, it's my belief that like, we are here for multiple lifetimes and we are set in this lifetime to dive into where we left off in some other way before. Mm-hmm. So we are setting ourselves up for success in a way, if you will, through the pain, through the struggle, through the fear to where we are now. And it's our jobs. It's not anybody else's fault. It's, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, I got my false money beliefs from my dad or my, you know, my religious upbringing, like blame it on whatever organized religion. And it's, you have to take onus and responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm with you. Like at this point in my life, I have immense gratitude for every single step, every single struggle, every single bad belief or all of those things, because I wouldn't be right here, right now, always say the deeper you dive, the higher you rise. Mm-hmm. So those things that sometimes it's like we want to blame, like you said, or we want to hold on to them or be angry, they are getting you where you're going. Yeah, number one. And number two, like you said, if you get to a place, like I was at that place where I was too afraid to look at what was there in the bag because it felt like maybe it was going to offend, I don't know, wherever I got those beliefs, it might offend somebody, or I don't know what the fear was exactly, but ultimately you can always choose to keep what's in the backpack. Just because you look at it doesn't mean you have to get rid of it. Now, most of the time people want to get rid of it, but if you look and you find something, there's no harm in just looking, because if you choose, you can keep it.
100%. And I like connecting to my inner child all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have dance parties around the house. I like being goofy and silly. I really like unicorns, which is like a 5-year-old's dream, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like you said, looking at your backpack over the years and what you've collected in there.
Yeah.
Not always bad. And nope. Connecting to those simple joys mm-hmm. that you've had as a child can bring so much peace and so much yeah. happiness, no matter what's going on or what you're working through in your life. It's just agreed. Simple pleasures.
Agreed.
Yes. I just looked at the clock again and it's just like, I'm always amazed at how time stands still. Nothing flies by. Just
I feel like we just started.
We just started. So to kind of wrap up, if I know this work helps so many people in so many different areas, but if somebody might be thinking they might need help with something like this, kind of give a short brief synopsis of, you know, who might benefit from help with you, who maybe not, this is not for, and how we can work with you.
Yes. Yes. If freedom resonates, I always tell people if freedom resonates for them, then that's normally a good sign. You said like who would not be a good fit. If you're not ready to do that work, you know, if you're not ready to look in the backpack, if you're not ready to maybe do some homework, I'll ask you to get a journal out, right? You're going to get a journal out, write some things down and take some time to listen and to start to dig. I mean, that's where the magic happens, but some people, they're not ready. They're not there. So I would say that would probably not be a good fit. But if freedom is calling to you, and you're ready. Like you said, it might be a little messy or a lot messy, but if you're ready, then yeah, then I got you. I'm your gal. Let's go. I always say, let's make some magic happen.
Yeah. I love it. I can feel it. I actually have unicorn socks on right now. I realized, you know, with on the bottom, it says make and 1 foot says magic. So perfect.
I didn't answer your question on what it looks like to work together. So it's either 3 months or 6 months
okay.
at a time. And we do a certain number of calls per month, one-on-one, face-to-face, and support in between calls is either Voxer, if the person likes voice, or email. And yeah, it's 3 or 6 months. The 6-month option is for people that want to go a bit slower. We don't meet quite as often. Mm-hmm. And 3 months is for, you said you were a perfectionist and very driven. That's my background too. So for me, it would be like that 3 month, let's go. But some people want to space it out a little longer.
Totally relatable. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, so much for coming on the show today. I had such fun time just like co-creating this and listening to you and your beautiful story. And thank you for sharing your heart with us today.
I feel like we could have kept talking forever.
Oh yeah, for a few more hours at least. But I always end every show with thanking you again for not only showing up for us today, but for yourself and being that courageous and fearless freedom seeker that you are. And I always ask, how can we, the listeners, be of service for you as an act of gratitude in exchange today?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I would say embed this in your heart. I've got a mantra for you. If the vision is in you, the vision is for you. For all the listeners, I want you to believe in yourself and believe in those dreams and desires that are in your heart. Life is not a tease. There is no tease. You're not here for this just to be a game or a tease. If that vision is in you, it's for you. It wouldn't have been given to you otherwise. So what you could do for me is remember that and embed that in your heart and keep going.
Okay, done. I'm doing that. That sounds beautiful. Thank you again, Elizabeth, for coming on the show today. I had such a pleasure talking with you. I know so many other people got so much love and so much wisdom out of today's show.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.